thinking about the sport of football and really the power of the game itself, right? Its capacity to ignite belief, right? Belief in ourselves, belief in others, belief in achieving what many may deem impossible. Travis Hunter, he embodies belief. He's a rare person. He's a rare player, but he's also a reminder that the boundaries of the game of football were built to be challenged. And so the decision to select him was actually a statement for how we plan to move, who we are, and we want him to be nothing more than him. Because when he is, he elevates the space around him.
James Gladstone?
I like this dude.
Any relation to Joey Gladstone?
From Full House?
Ah, I got one.
It took me...
I got one.
I was mostly sure. It's just been so long since I've seen that.
I'm glad I got one.
Joey Gladstone. Is he top three character on that show? Yes.
Yeah.
Is he number one? Who's the best Full House character? Is it Joey Gladstone? It might be Joey Gladstone, actually.
That's a great... I mean, it's
Jesse Kinsopolis.
It's not Uncle Jesse.
Comet doesn't count because everyone would pick Comet.
Comet. Listen, Comet.
Comet would be number one.
It's not Jesse.
Dogs don't count.
It's got to be Uncle Jesse.
Ooh. These are top two?
Probably.
Danny Tanner, great character, but not top two. Okay, it's between Uncle Jesse and Joey. Put a poll up.
Another
poll. I'll put a poll up.
Another poll. 803-0550, our number. We'll mix some more calls in here. Jeremy and Joe. Silas in New Jersey. Hey, Silas, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
New Jersey traffic. Yeah, but whatever. So I just wanted to bring up a couple of quick points. I don't understand why people would say that this roster over the last few years has been worth getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, outside of the quarterback, Stephon Diggs, and some really nice regular season numbers, the defense has been marred by untimely injuries in the playoffs. I don't know what the defense was supposed to do in 2022 after they signed Von Miller. The pass rush went from, you know, top five, top 10 in the league to, you know, the well under bottom half of the league when Von Miller got hurt. You also lost Trey White. You also lost, a lot of guys in leading up to the playoffs. Same thing with 2023. I don't know what the team was supposed to do defensively when you don't have Benford, you have a hobbled Russell Douglas, you don't have Micah Hyde, you don't have Milano. There are guys, Daquan Jones just came back, you know, a couple weeks before the playoffs started. Like, there were guys that are integral to the defensive system that are just not there. So I heard a caller earlier say that this is a very informed fan base, one of the most – and I'm not saying that the Bills fans are not. I'm a Bills fan. We're all Bills fans, I assume. But – if you watched that defense last year and you pay attention to the numbers and you're doing your thing to make sure that you're researched on what's going on with the defense, I don't understand how you would ask for anything other than defense in this draft. Now, yes, did we need a speed wide receiver to stretch the field to really open up this offense by giving Josh Allen a third level option? Absolutely. But there were plenty of times last year where Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, the running backs got open, got steps. And Josh just missed the throw because we don't do it often enough. Or he's more worried about turning the football over or overthrowing a guy than he is about, you know, just taking a chance. So when you have the 28th completion percentage against on defense, when you are the 29th team when it comes to defensive third down percentage, you're allowing, you know, there's only two teams in the league, two or three teams, allowing more third downs,
yep,
conversions than you are when you're not getting home, when you're allowing a time to throw on average under 3 seconds, under 2.7 seconds throughout the year when you're giving Mahomes the option to step up and find receivers on crossing routes because you don't have the athleticism in the secondary. You don't have the coverage skills, guys, to allow the defense to get off the field and get this offense more opportunities. We're top five, we're top seven in scoring, and we're bottom, and we're 17th in possessions. These are numbers that are real, and attacking the defense actually fixes the problem. And it also gives the McDermott detractors what they want. If McDermott can't win this year, if he can't at least get to a Super Bowl with this influx of talent, speed, athleticism, and youth on this defense, he's never going to get it done. So it's time to fire him.
Well, real quick, Silas, on this point, I don't think anybody disagrees. Like, their defensive talent last year was not good enough.
Right.
I mean, it's going to sound like a shot at Bean. It's not. Who built that defense? It's been here for a long time. And it's been a long the entire roster, every single player on it is, whether you think their roster is one of the best in the league or they're only carried by Josh and his unicorn status or they built an incredible offense, like, Bean has some feathers in his cap and he has got some where they've dedicated 8 top 100 picks to the defensive line. 4 of those, by the way, three of those this year. But they've dedicated a lot to the defensive line and they've not been able to get home. The Super Bowl, to me, was the showcase here. What did the Eagles do? They didn't call exotic stuff. They just beat the brakes off the Chiefs up front. And the Bills, after trying to build defensive lines again and again and again, that's Vaughn's on that line, first-round pick at Oliver, first-round pick Greg Rousseau, a defensive tackle spot that kind of rotates in. But the Bills had, they drafted third-round Dwayne Carter, inactive for that game. The Bills didn't have the talent to beat up a Chiefs offensive line that was there for it. Now, maybe that's because they were weak in the secondary, where their first man up off the bench is Kyer Elam. So, you know,
couldn't you even argue they overachieved on defense last
because
year?
Because of the turnovers.
And honestly, I've pointed this out, they were not that bad run defense-wise, right? They were plugging that together. Jordan Phillips comes in. Quentin Jefferson comes in. Milano misses most of the year, and it's Dorian Williams. And by DVOA, they were the 10th best rush defense in football last year. And they did, I mean, they stopped half of the Baltimore attack, right?
Yep.
They did stop Derrick Henry. Everyone was, Bulldog put it this way, everyone was thinking that it was Paul Bunyan walking into the stadium for that day in the divisional round, and they did stop him. They had to give the pass maybe to do it. So, you know, what was the roster? The roster had a lot of holes on defense, and they found their way to turnovers and being good in certain spots. They were terrible on third down. But
one spot the defense had a big hole or big problem they didn't fix. They're hoping safety. They're hoping Cole Bishop is ready.
Yeah.
Because last year their safeties were they're bad. I mean, whether you want to use PFF coverage grades or rankings all over the place, where the Bills' safeties rank. Near the bottom. Not good. Not good in coverage. Mm-hmm. And they kept that room together for the most part. They had, Derek Forrest.
Right.
But
the difference will be that Bishop should play all year.
Right, right. They're counting on Bishop to be the guy that elevates there. And Rapp is a guy that, he's fine. He's okay. He's not a high-priced, big-time safety. They've gotten by with that before. Maybe they think a better front four will help them there. But
it's a little bit like counting on Coleman, isn't it?
Sure, which is a reasonable thing to do. Is it the best plan? Maybe not, but it could be defended as a good plan.
Right. They've started acting at safety more like the way the league kind of does, which is we're going to prioritize defensive line and corner, and safety kind of comes after. It's two positions now, really, where the roster looks different. The strategy, you could argue, looks a little bit different from, with the investment and the play that Hyde and Poyer gave you, plus around that time is when they trade for Diggs. So two positions that they're two best positions, right? Like when they made it to the AFC Championship the first time and then the 13-second game where a lot of people thought they should have won the Super Bowl that year, outside of quarterback, obviously, your best two positions were probably receiver and safety. And more, those are the two positions where they're kind of thinking, we're going to get by with guys that are just pretty good.
Let's go to Joe in Florida. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Boy, a couple interesting days for you guys.
Yes, indeed.
I've been listening quite a bit the last couple of days, and I almost feel like it's getting a little out of control on trying to make all the excuses on how poorly Brandon Bean has performed or how poorly Sean. I mean, we just had a caller call in and want to get rid of McDermott and that there's a split up between the two. I mean, we're really going off the deep end here. Fact of the matter is, guys, we've got one of the best general managers in the league. I mean, I think he's got a track record that supports that. You can disagree on one or two of his moves, but, you know, I listened yesterday and you guys were going down a rabbit hole of giving Josh Allen all the credit for all the wins, the culture in the locker room, and that, you know, basically any coach GM combo could win with Josh. Now, I'm not dumb enough to say there aren't any other people out there that could win with Josh Allen. He's obviously, if not the best, one of the top three or four players in the entire league at the most important position. But, you know, that culture in that locker room is something that Hire and Poyet and Trey White and McDermott started and have carried over. It's been Bean and McDermott bringing the right players in to develop that culture. And I'll give you the perfect example. The thing that kept coming up in my mind listening to you guys. Do we all agree Joe Burrow is a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Where do you rank his wide receiver room in the entire league with Jamar Chase?
One or two.
Exactly. So there's a team that's got everything, yet their GM has let them down.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Just, Joe, let's be objective here. They missed the playoffs last year, right? Their defense is a mess. They fired their defensive coordinator. They had a dip, right?
Yep.
Is their resume not better than the Bills? Is it or is it not? I mean, they made a Super Bowl.
They made one Super Bowl.
That's right. They made a Super Bowl. And they made two AFC championship games, the same numbers the Bills have. They've had years where Burrow was missed with injury, and their defense fell apart. But I mean, if the argument is to be, well, and again, like, I'm not going to hang up on you. I want to keep going here. I'm not even here saying they need to give Allen the top two receivers in football. But I don't want to really hear, or I don't want to entertain the idea that the Bengals are flawed when they have been farther than the Bills.
Well, I understand that, but what the argument that I'm going to make there, if we're going to be objective, it's more than their defense that let them down. They've got their money in wide receivers. Their offensive line has been terrible. They
That's
haven't
right.
protected Burrow.
But they have not had money in receiver until right now.
Yeah, before that, right, exactly. Like one thing about the Bengals is this gets to the Eagles' point. Again, like, Joe, I think that the salary cap – sorry, you, Joe. I think the salary cap lets people believe that these teams are all on an equal financial playing field, and they are not. Some teams – do more and some teams do less, and Cincinnati has been one that over the years has been talked about as doing less, and their GM might not be as good as Brandon Bean, but again, they have made it farther. They have been just as good. They've had lower lows because they don't have the defensive coach, they have the injuries, they make bad picks. Like, but I guess I don't know, I don't get looking at the Bengals as some sort of dunking on scenario.
And if I could add in here quickly, Joe, the Bengals, who missed the playoffs by one game, or was it even tiebreakers this past season, with 1-point losses to the Ravens and to the Chiefs, look what it took for them to miss. They had elite quarterback and elite wide receiver. They had a terrible secondary. They had a terrible defensive line. They had a terrible offensive line. They had mid running backs, mid tight ends. Like, it almost feels like they were, you know, the Sabres with Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart said, well, you can't win with star players because they couldn't do it. Well, they had nothing else around them. Look how much it took for them to miss the playoffs with those three players at the head. They had to literally screw everything up else on the roster.
But I understand. So you're kind of making my point, because I'm saying you can have a franchise quarterback. You can have those difference makers at wide receiver.
You can.
But the Bills aren't going to have nothing else.
You can't just put any GM in there. I mean, think about last season, guys. At this time, we were sitting here going, oh, my God, look at all the dead cap they have.
Yeah.
Look at the guys that they've let go. This is a reset year. We might win 9 games this year, maybe 10. I mean, Brandon retooled and brought in a roster that got us to 13-4 and made a run in the playoffs that was totally unexpected.
I mean, I guess
that was sad, but I expected they were going to win the division last year.
Totally so. Unexpected, and
but it was sad.
It's just you can't overstate how much Josh Allen does that for them, and Joe Brady, and Bean does deserve credit, but right, the Bengals have not ever fallen apart because of paying receivers. They just started to do that. They were paying elsewhere, and you know, teams make bad decisions. But the idea that you can't have, and again, like I feel like so much of this conversation is being hijacked. Bean is trying to hijack it. Oh, about Diggs, and I'd love to have a Pro Bowl receivers. We're talking about drafting one in the fourth and fifth and sixth, like where he wanted to draft one. He's trying to recreate and reframe the narrative. Joe, you said, like, you can't have a premium quarterback and premium receivers. You definitely can, and lots of teams do. Whether or not you have the rest of it, it's hard. It's a puzzle to put together. But successful teams have multiple highly paid players. And whether that's, you know, the Ravens, who I don't know if they're paying big money to a receiver yet. Probably not. Maybe Zay Flowers gets good money there. The Chiefs, of course, have had a premier tight end. I don't know. I feel like we always get in all these different branches of the conversations, but you definitely can. The Bills had it and won four divisions while having it. And last year they won with $26 million in dead cap. I would raise my hand and say, what if the $26 million was on the $26 million receiver instead of just dead cap or on a $26 million defensive end, right? Like, there are lots of ways to do it. Bean said that with us. He said that with McAfee. We agree with that. We don't think they're going to be bad. We don't think it's as binary as that. But I want to always caution against saying what you can't do. There's a lot of things that you can do and that these teams can do more. The Bills could be more like the Eagles. They really could do that. But financially and structuring, they've not yet done that. And that's whatever. We saw some void years this year, so maybe they're starting to move that direction. They should be going all out. Thanks for the phone call, Joe. Good points.
Yeah.
All unpacking it. Extendo Sports and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.